Welcome back to The Aware Show. Hi, this is Lisa Garr. I am very pleased to be here with three people who have overcome major obstacles in order to receive, and achieve major success in their life. There is an upcoming business symposium that's happening at the Conscious Life Expo that's going on February 8th through the 11th at the LAX Hilton. And among these wonderful people that we're speaking to is Monique Guild, who is a business intuitive. Thanks for joining me, Monique.
Thanks for having me here.
And also a scientist, research, and teacher featured in the award-winning film What the Bleep Do We Know, Dr. Joe Dispenza, is also joining me. Thanks for being here as well.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Joe. And Nelson Davis is joining me. He's the director of daytime programming for NBC. Thank you very much for joining me this afternoon, Nelson.
Delighted to be here. The title you just mentioned is from my long ago past of about 15 years ago. At present, I own a television production company in Hollywood.
And that's the Nelson Davis Company, is that right?
Nelson Davis Productions.
Okay, yes. Well, thank you. And thanks for helping with that. So actually, I do want to start with you, Nelson. And being in the entertainment industry is sometimes not the easiest road. How did you get through the various things that you had to get through in order to achieve having your own television production company and working in the entertainment industry?
Nice question. Without putting too many attachments on it, it comes from basics that we probably all know and sometimes are challenged to apply. It really began when I sat with long sheets of paper and wrote down goals fairly clearly and never hesitated from that point on in asking people how I might realize these goals. Particular techniques, focus. I've even learned to meditate a bit on some of those goals.
Mm-hmm.
But just diligent, extreme persistence, persistent to the point of annoyance at times.
Your persistence?
My persistence, yes.
I hear you. I do hear you. I mean, just being unreasonably diligent sometimes is what it takes, because there's a certain level of energy that you need to get through in order to break into, be a pioneer, I should say.
Lisa, you're quite right, and keeping to the few words philosophy of mine here, having a clear picture of what it is you want to have and to be.
That's very well stated. Dr. Joe Dispenza, you actually had a certain amount of serious injuries and so forth that are more than just roadblocks to get through into your success. Can you tell us a little bit about what you went through and how you got through that mentally?
Well, I mean, on a short note, I just happened to be run over by a truck about 20 years ago.
Literally
run over by a truck in the middle of a triathlon in Palm Springs.
Mm.
And
I'm a cyclist, you know, as well. That is a big danger on the road. I'm sorry. So what exactly happened?
Oh, actually, not to be sorry. It was actually a great moment in my life. It changed my life forever. So I'm actually blessed that it happened.
That's great to say. And in what way do you say that? How did you come to that?
I was diagnosed with multiple fractures in my spine and bone fragments on my spinal cord. And, of course, the prognosis was that I was never going to walk again, and I would have to go through a radical surgery to stabilize the fractures. Anyway, I decided not to have the surgery, and my credo has always been the power that made the body heals the body, and I just thought if I could just, you know, go from this young kid that was busy with training and practice and everything else, if I could just stop long enough and develop a relationship with this power, you know, this force, and give it some instructions and then get out of the way and let it, you know, see what it could do. It began to work for me, so.
The power. You said the power that made the body heals the body. What is that power to
you? Well, there's nothing mystical about that.
No, to you, yeah.
Yeah, it's nothing mystical about it. It's the same intelligence that's, you know, keeping your heart beating. Our heart beats over 2 gallons of blood per minute, over 100 gallons of blood in 1 hour through 60,000 miles of blood vessels, and we never think about it, you know, so. There's this innate intelligence that some people call a spiritual intelligence or a higher order. You know, for me, it was something that I think we all take for granted unless something seriously goes wrong. And then we start knocking on the door.
So. There is something mystical about that, Joe, because I think the body's amazing. It's such an innately intelligent thing that we live inside. I think the body's incredible. And I'm sure you, of course, through all of your research and science and so forth, you know what I'm talking about. It is a bit of a mystical experience. But then we have these brains, which you study a lot about, and they tend to get in the way. Like, they separate themselves from the body, and then they do their own thing.
Well, I think the question is, I mean, can we believe in an outcome that we haven't experienced with our senses, but is alive in our mind? And if we can live by that law, we live by the quantum law, which is saying that our brain and mind are ahead of the experience. Instead of the brain being a record of the past, it's actually, in fact, a map to the future. And it just takes some training, and it just takes some willful intent, and then there has to be an element of surrender. You have to surrender to this greater mind, because we can't do it ourselves. We have to actually allow it to work with us.
You know, actually, Nelson Davis, I want to ask you, what was the key that you used every day that really helped you get through to the next level and the next level and the next level? Like, what is your spiritual practice, if you will?
And thank you for bringing spirit into it, as Joe just did. And I agree with everything that he said. With all of us, we tend to push our dreams aside as either not attainable, not worthy, not believable. And in my particular case, I call it the theory of positive naivete. Quick background, small town, Alabama birth, grew up, housing project, Niagara Falls, New York. And I'll give you one quick story as to how it works. In the early 60s, I was watching the Johnny Carson show, Tonight Show, Johnny Carson on NBC in those days, about 1963 or 4. And in 82, I guess it was, I was working on The Tonight Show, and in my first meeting with John Carson, I was sitting in his office, just the two of us, and I had a big grin on my face.
That's a big gap.
Yeah, I was like, whoops, how did that happen?
I said, how did I get here, in effect? Well, I had to explain to him why I was smiling so big, and that was that this kid from the housing project in Niagara Falls watching his television show in the early 60s is now sitting in the office working with him. And it was truly an amazing thing to me. And that's the theory of positive naivety at work. You envision something and don't ever argue with that vision to say it's not doable. And you're so naive that you don't know that you can't do it, and you manage to accomplish it.
You do this still to this day?
To this day, yes. I have some pretty big thoughts in mind this day.
I will attest to the fact that he does do that.
Very good.
He definitely does.
So Monique is putting together, or she is the director of the whole business symposium going on next weekend.
Friday.
Is it next Friday?
11 to 7.
What is the business symposium?
I'm going to be interviewing amazing people like Dr. Joe and Nelson. Also, John Gray will be there. And Stephen Sadalier is going to lead our meditation. And Matthew Ferry and Jay Levin and Mark Shulman. And as a kid growing up, I had to find mentors to mentor me, other people outside of my family situation to guide me, because there was zero guidance going on. I mean, we were followed by spies and government scandal and a lot of addiction. A lot of addiction in our family. My mom's second husband was this world-renowned doctor backed by Ford and Kellogg. And, you know, the first part sounds really impressive. He was nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize during the Nixon administration with John D. Rockefeller. However, he ended up embezzling a lot of money and went to jail, and we had federal government spies following us. And everybody was so caught up in their own chaos and own addictions that there was nobody there to really pay attention to the kids. So I innately, as a child, sought out other people to guide me. And even if it was the family down the street or about a mile away, they were on welfare. And I actually lived with them in fifth and sixth grade, and they took care of me. And then it was Linda, this girl Linda. I was in seventh grade, and she was in 12th grade. And I wanted to go to the school where she went to school because she had a really good education. I thought she was smart. So she was my next step into getting me into a really good grade school. And then one of my dearest friend, Michael Uslan, he's executive producer of all the Batman films. He's been a mentor of mine now for, about 16, 17 years. So I've sought out people to help move me to the next level, and I've emulated them. So I wanted to bring people like Nelson, like Dr. Joe, to an event, and I want to know what they are thinking. What is their thought process? What is it inside of them that gets them to never give up and to never quit? Because, you know, I work with people on a daily basis that are blocked in business, that are stuck, and I help turn businesses around. And I want to help people who feel that they don't have hope right now, or maybe they're on the brink of something and they need that extra last push to hang in there no matter what, and don't quit, don't give up. And to hear how Dr. Joe, to hear how Nelson and Jay and Mark and Matthew and the others have, and Jay Levin, I mentioned, how did they keep going no matter what? What was it about them and their mindset?
Well, and that's a very, very valuable technique in terms of modeling masters. And I'm calling both of you who are on the phone with us the masters, because you have been through a lot and still been able to achieve an enormous amount of success, not just a certain amount. I mean, a major success, which is wonderful. Because when someone sets a goal and something gets in the way right away, it is the path of least resistance to just give in. A friend of mine has amazing, I mean, she's an amazing heart, an incredible goal, I mean, an incredible woman, always helping other people. But the beginning of this year has been insane for her. Her car broke down, her husband's car broke down, she's having troubles with the job. It's just all these things are getting in her way, and I look at her and I'm like, oh my God, this is the best person. All IRS is after her, a lot of things going on here, and I don't even know how exactly to tell her. I mean, I'm scratching my head going, God, she's a great person. She's always helping other people. How does she get through these obstacles? So what would one of you be able to say in order to help someone like that?
Well, I'll offer just a couple bits of information from my present state of ignorance.
Right. Oh, God, Joe.
You know, whenever I confront an obstacle in my life, I always ask myself, what piece of information do I philosophically know, like a piece of knowledge that I've read in a book or a universal law that I believe in, but I haven't actually applied yet? You see, philosophy is just knowledge that hasn't been experienced. So if we begin to say, what piece of information do I intellectually know that's philosophical, that's abstract, that I actually want to apply to this experience, I want to try it out and see if by changing my mind in some way that it'll change the event or change the outcome. So we have to then use what we intellectually know but haven't experienced and apply it to see if we can hold on to that law, hold on to that ideal, and be uncompromising, because when we do, we move to a new level of mind. And that new level of mind presents options or outcomes or possibilities that we never saw from the old level of mind. So that's where I usually start.
So it's perception, in other words. Is that what you're saying?
No, it's way more than perception. The perception is the outcome. The perception is the side effect. It's the byproduct. It's actually saying, well, if you read, I don't know, a book that was loaded with information about quantum physics, or loaded with information about quantum healing, or about attaining your goals, but you haven't actually attained your goals, you would actually have to say, I read all that stuff. It must be true for somebody else, but it's not true for me yet.
Mm-hmm.
So let me use this now and try this out and actually stick with it and not go back to my old habitual ways. And by doing that, let's see if something changes as a result of it. That's being a scientist in our world. That's saying, I'm producing a cause. Let's see if I get some effect in my world. And if I do, that means I'm headed in the right direction.
And now, Monique, you're able to see blocks that happen in people's lives. You actually see where they are?
Mm-hmm. I get the date, the age, the event, what has happened to the person in the past that's causing them to become stuck or blocked now. And then I see the gift. Where they're capable of going.
The higher learning.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm able to, I literally get pictures that run in my mind, and I follow these pictures, and I also, it's interesting to say you hear voices when you have a father for a psychiatrist, but I do. Mm-hmm. I hear voices, I see pictures, and I get downloaded with blocks of information.
I hear voices in my house. The dishes call at me, and they tell me to wash them, and the clothes on the floor tell me to pick them.
Come here. But, you know, I wanted to say something about this person you described a moment ago. It's this person person is a very creative person.
Yes.
Very, very, very creative. And I believe that we're either in creativity or chaos.
Mm.
And it's about having her energy go in a way. She's so powerful that it's almost as if she's afraid of her own energy and her own power and her own strength. And it's about turning that around and stepping into her power, stepping into her strength, and really owning all that she is and becoming all that she's meant to be. And it's easier to do that than to get and to continue to attract all the chaos that she's attracting. So
like the quantum physics theory, two things cannot occupy the same space at the same time, right? So you cannot be in fear. I mean, you cannot be in chaos.
And creativity at the
same time.
So, and I think, too, our bodies get used to a certain amount of anxiety. So why not have that creative anxiety going as opposed to chaotic anxiety running in our bodies?
One of the things that Carolyn Mace was just talking about was being led around by our fears, and how we not only hide behind them, but they are what lead us into what we wear that day, what car we choose, where we sit on an airplane, just to say what she'd said. But mostly those fears are the major guides in our life, as opposed to the guides that should be. And it's driven by the ego, in other words, kind of what she was saying. Instead of going deep inside and really listening to the guides and the spirituality that you know, and as she said, going to the deeper levels of the monastery of your life. So if there's a way that somebody could do that, is it up to their, I mean, Nelson has his way of theory of positive naivety.
You know what? I know this guy, Dr. Joe Dispenza, and he has this way that he talks about his greatest, his ideal greatest self. Is that how it is, Joe?
What's that?
He taught me this. This is one of my mentors teaching me this. Okay.
I mean, if you can actually embrace the greatest ideal of yourself every morning, if you ask yourself the question, what is the greatest ideal I could possibly be today? And you allowed your mind to, to unfold the answer to that question. What most people don't know is by answering that question, they would be forcing their brain to work in new sequences and new patterns and new combinations. They would be literally making a new mind. And the concept in neuroscience says nerve cells that fire together wire together. So by thinking differently, you literally begin to orchestrate a new set of circuits working in new ways that literally produces a new signal to the quantum field. Now, if we're able to memorize that ideal and we're able to practice it in the morning in our mind, that assembly of thoughts begins to become the platform of who we're going to be the rest of the day.
So you really can fix the negative patterning with the conscious thinking, and then it actually starts to affect the unconscious?
It does. The only problem is that there's one element that nobody likes to talk about but has to be talked about, and that is you have to unlearn the old self. In other words, there are unconscious thoughts and actions. There are unconscious behaviors and feelings that most people become used to, and they think that that's who they are.
And
one of my greatest moments in my life is when I realized just because I have a thought doesn't necessarily mean it's true. Well, that process of being able to unlearn those thoughts and actions and feelings and replace them and rehearse a new way of being is what allows us to retire the old self and literally be reborn again. And neuroscience says it's completely possible.
Well, now, Nelson, from your perspective, you took us from a place in the projects to sitting there in the Tonight Show office. Did you know that you were learning and unlearning patterns and behaviors and so forth?
No, I'm so fortunate. So many blessings in my life. And so fortunate that it was only after some of these things began to happen that I understood natively somehow I was applying some of these simple principles. I couldn't have articulated to you the whys and wherefores, as Dr. Joe has just done so extremely well, but I have come to understand, as I've endeavored to go on to deeper and higher levels in various things, that guarding one's thoughts is the single most important thing we can do on any given day, because most of the self-conversations, we talk to ourselves more often than anyone does, and so therefore those conversations have to be healthy, they have to have a recognition of spirit, and most importantly, they have to have a recognition of what we want and who we want to be.
Does have a good point.
Fantastic.
Nelson, what has your experience been in the entertainment industry talking about things like spirituality and intentionality and law of attraction and God?
Well,
how's that going for you?
Small question.
Sorry about that.
You know, I found generally that some of the most creative people I've known over the years, whether it be in the pure entertainment part of the business or even other parts of the business, are some of the most spiritual people I know. And if you scratch them a little bit, in other words, give them an opening to converse about spirit, intention, spirituality in the broadest sense, including, of course, the godlike presence, they love talking about it and will confess. It's not as though they wake up every day and walk into the office and that's the first part of the conversation. But I found creative people very much possessed and aware of spirit, even though they don't always know how to articulate it that way.
But why don't we see more of that on the airwaves in mainstream media?
Hopefully the good works of people like Dr. Joe and yourself, Lisa, and other people is bringing a new consciousness. We all lived through the revelations of The Secret on Oprah's show,
mm-hmm.
and those kinds of things bring a greater consciousness, as does the work that Monique does, standing up in front of a group of people, running the workshops, and taking the message to wherever she is. I think that a broader, deeper consciousness is beginning to emerge.
These seeds are definitely being planted, and they are out there. One of my favorite people, he was the man who created Schoolhouse Rock.
Yes.
And, God, why is his name escaping me right now? But he wrote a great book called God Winks. And here he's the creator of the man who wrote, I'm just a bill sitting on camera. And he wrote about how these coincidences happen, and he interviewed hundreds of people about how coincidences happen in their lives that either saved their life or they saw a flash of light or an angel sighting or something like that that actually literally saved their lives. Real accounts of people. Now, that never got made into a television show, even though he went on to produce a lot of other television shows after that. But he wrote a book about it because that was the way he could express his medium. And it's coming, isn't it, Nelson?
I certainly hope so. The Internet and ease of communications, instant messaging and all, has broken down certain communication barriers between people of various ages, genders, races, nationalities. And I believe that people are understanding each other better. Now, of course, there will always be some people who are not ready to receive a message yet, and hopefully in this life they will get to the point where they're ready to receive.
Now, from your mouth to God's ears. And, let's just be positively naive about this and make it happen.
Yeah,
how's
there
that,
we go.
Nelson? I'm right there with you. Okay, so the Business Symposium is happening this week, it's the following week in February 9th.
Next Friday, February 8th. It starts at 11 a.m. It's going to go till 7. Oh, one more person I'd like to add is Tony Adams from Australia is going to be with us as well. And he overcame being crippled as a child by tap dancing. And he has an amazing entrepreneur, and went on to be a very well-known stockbroker and successful. And I spoke to him on the phone. I was like, oh my God, I've got to have this guy part of our event. In fact, Dr. Joe and Nelson don't know this. So by the way, you guys, we have an amazing guest joining us at the end of the night after John Gray. He will be on at, I believe it's 7.
Okay.
So,
and Nelson Davis is speaking at 4 p.m. and following him is Dr. Joe Dispenza at 5 p.m., and this is all happening at the LAX Hilton. Then the Conscious Life Expo continues on after that on the 9th, 10th,
weekend.
And 11th, the whole weekend. And there's keynote speakers such as Dan Millman and Lisa Williams, George Norrie, Danian Brinkley, Byron Katie, Raymond Moody, some of my favorite people. So they're all going to be talking over the weekend as well. So definitely hook into that because it's going to be a huge event. It always is. It's an annual event, and it's really great. Are there any women involved in the...
There was... I know, there's not this year. It's funny, last year was all women. There was no men last year, and this year is all men. It's interesting.
Patsy?
It just happened. She's not going to be able to make it. Gray is replacing Patsy, but Nita Valens is going to be my MC, helping me there.
All right,
Dr. Nita Valens, and
thank you very much, and thank you very much, Nelson Davis. for joining me today.
A delight, Lisa. Thank you for being such a wonderful host.
Absolutely. And Joe, Dr. Joe Dispenza, thank you for all of your wonderful work. You've made a great contribution to us.
Thank you also.
All right. And thanks, Monique Gahild, for setting this all.
Thank you, Lisa, for having me here. I really appreciate it.
And that's it for me today. While I'm committed to bring you the clearest information possible, in the end, I always encourage you to listen to your own truth. Until next time, I invite you to stay aware.